Our series for the past few weeks has been about asking in certain circumstances in life where God is, where he's at, what he's doing. You know, seems like I walk through a number of opportunities or a number of paths and lives, and it's like God is nowhere to be found. And we ask ourselves, where's God? We learned about how that blaming God is not necessarily bad. So like if you have you're having a bad time and you blame God, it's not necessarily bad as long as you're talking to God and not just about God. About seeing his face in the good and the bad. About seeking his face no matter where we're at in life. Because we're called as Christians, we're called as people that we're supposed to seek God's opportunity. We're supposed to seek his opportunity in our lives. And then in Galatians 6:10, I want to read this to you quick. You don't have to turn there. If you want to, you can. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. It says this. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Is that 6:10? Yeah. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power and what he has for us. And when we do that, we're to be looking for his opportunities, to be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. And finding that. But the question is, what is a God opportunity? What is his opportunities that we're supposed to be looking for? And each one of us can look at that, and it's going to be different for each person, that you're supposed to look for certain opportunities God has put in your life. And what those opportunities are going to be is going to be based upon who you are and where you're at in your life right now. But how do we know what a God opportunity is? Because opportunities from God becomes in many shapes, many sizes, many forms, many different ways in our life. And we can't always see clearly about what a God opportunity is. You know, there's times we talk about how we're supposed to be watching for that. And we talk about watching for doors that are open to us. Do you remember ever hear anybody or remember anybody talking to you about that you're supposed to be looking for the open doors in your life that God has put in your life and possibly even the doors that he shut in your life? Because God does these things. We speak in the manner of open doors and shut doors. In fact, when Jesus wrote his letters to the churches in Revelation 3:7, it talks about how to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, I write this. These are his words. And in there you keep on reading, it says, what he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. So this proves to us that he opens doors and he shuts doors in our life. And what we're supposed to be doing on our journey. In fact, if you go further in and go one more verse into verse 8 of that chapter, it says, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not defiled my name. A particular partner where it says, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. So we know that Jesus opens doors and he shuts doors. And when we look at the doorways, when we're concentrating, we're walking on the path, well, sometimes we come to that and it's easy to see a closed door. It's easy to feel a closed door. Why is it easy to see it? Why is it easy to feel it? Because it's closed. You ever run into a closed door in the middle of the night when you had to get out of bed? Come around the corner and you thought the door was open and your eyes got sleepy in your eyes and it's dark in there and you haven't adjusted yet. All of a sudden you come into the door and wham! It really gets your attention, doesn't it? The door is closed. Sometimes it's this way when Jesus is with us. Because if the door is closed, you're not getting in. There's multitudes of times and people that have ran in to closed doors. I remember in particular the scripture about King Saul. King Saul, he was just a lowly little, you know, guy planting a field when he was called to the Lord's service. And he was anointed for that, and God opened a door for him. But along the way, King Saul started doing some things that didn't necessarily jive with what God had planned for him. And God took his anointing away. God essentially shut the door. But King Saul, he didn't agree with that shut door. He kept on running into that shut door. I mean, it's like sometimes I get the mental picture in my head where King Saul is just taking a headlong lunge at this door and smacking that door with his head every time. Because things did not turn out well for him. Even though he continued to try to open that shut door, it did not open. Everything he did went against that, and when God shuts a door, it shut. So King Saul was tormented by that. For the rest of his days, he was tormented. How many times have you come up against a shut door in your life? How many times have you seen that shut door and it's something that you really wanted so bad in your life and that you found out that the door is shut and you were disappointed? You ever been disappointed that a door that you wanted to walk through really bad was shut? You know, sometimes I remember going to a store. And it's like, okay, this is the one day I have to go to that store. And then I get to that store and I walk up to it and pull on the handle. And the door is shut. It's locked. And then I look on the door and it says, closed. Like the one day I had to go and get this done, it's closed. I feel disappointed when that happens. Now, that's pretty simplistic in that manner. It's not the same as what God would shut on us. But we still feel disappointed when there's a shut door that we truly want to walk through. And when you came up to that particular door that you wanted to walk through, did you stand there on the handle of that door and start shaking it, start trying to open that, or push on it, or pull on it, or try to get in there really bad? I know there's times I've done that, where I've stood at a door that God has shut in my life, and I've stood there on just rearing on that handle, trying to get that door open, saying, God, I really need to get in this door. I know this is right for me. I need inside this door. And no matter what I did, that door never came open. Sooner or later, I figured it out, and I started walking along my way. But I was still disappointed. And it didn't feel good to be working against that door. It didn't feel good because it's what I wanted so bad that I figured that my life was not going to be right if I didn't get inside that door. And sometimes we do that and we work against those doors, we become disheartened. You ever been disheartened? You know what disheartened is? Is that you become so much like that you're downtrodden. That you feel like your whole life is going to come to an end because you didn't get this particular thing. You didn't get to walk inside this door. And when we get that point to where we're disheartened and when we feel downtrodden, sometimes we respond in such a way that we just give up. We give up on everything. Not just giving up on getting in that door, but we stop moving, period. We stand in front of the door. And we just continue to stand there waiting for that door to open. We don't look around. We don't see what else is around us. We just stand there and we stare at this door. It's kind of like being a kid and standing in the corner. You ever done that? Your parents ever do that to you? I remember I got in trouble once that I had to go stand in a corner. I had to stare at the corner. I couldn't look anywhere else. I had to stand right there. You know? So you can't see anything else. I didn't feel very good. I didn't understand it as a kid, but I understand it now. But sometimes, even as adults, we look at the door and we just fixate on the door and it can't open and we just stand there and we stare at the door. And then we just start to give up. We give up because we had all our hopes in one thing. And when our hopes are crushed, we start feeling heartsick. Proverbs, the book of Proverbs in chapter 13, verse 12 says, "If hope deferred makes the heart sick." Hope deferred makes the heart sick. meaning that you wish for something so bad, you hope for something so bad, and when you don't get it, your heart broken, your heart sick. That you feel really bad about not getting that. Our spirit starts to suffer in that way. We start to think that God is against us. We start to think that there's no matter what, God doesn't love us. Or that no matter how and what I do, God is not going to be happy with us. Because we are heartsick and our hope is crushed. And we walk in those ways sometimes. We don't pay attention to really, especially the second part of that verse where it says, a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Because we are so fixated on the heartsick part and staring at the door, again, we're not looking around. We're not seeing what's available. But a hope fulfilled brings life. When we truly look around, when we truly speak with God and we understand that and have confidence in what God has planned for you, this is the point where it calls for faith and trust. To knowing that God has something planned for your life, that even though this door is closed, there is something else going on. That if you have confidence in what God has planned for you, that you will be richly rewarded if you stop staring at the door. I want you to grab your Bibles or your apps or whatever. I want you to turn to the book of Hebrews, please. Because in the book of Hebrews, it tells you about being richly rewarded for trusting in God and what He has planned for you. So in the book of Hebrews, go to chapter 10. And in chapter 10, we're going to go kind of to the end here. Turn all the pages to just about chapter 11. And I want you to find verse 35. And in verse 35, it starts as, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. And in 36, it says, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. We have a hard time trusting God and having confidence in what He has planned for us. And when we have that problem, we also have a problem seeing the rewards which He has planned for us, which He wants for you in your life. Proverbs 23, they write about how surely there's a hope for the future. And that this hope cannot be and will not be cut off. That the hope that we have in trusting God and having confidence in what He has for us, it can't be cut off. But it can be stopped for the simple fact that you've stopped moving. That you're stuck at a place where you're staring at something and you're not looking around for what else He has for you. He has for me. He has for all of us. That if you truly have trust in Him and you see that you have hope in Him, that you will be rewarded. And it will come to you. But we need to set our heart on the right path. We need to set our heart on the pathway God has for us and not necessarily the pathway we have for ourselves. Because every time God shuts a door, He opens one also. And what we need to do is just look around and find the open door. See the light that's coming and shining through this doorway in a dark area of our lives. Well, we're staring at something and all of a sudden we can see the light in our peripheral to look around and go, this is the doorway God has set before me that I need to walk through. You know, there's plenty of people in the Bible that had doorways closed and shut for them. One of the greatest people in the Bible we always talk about and who wrote many of the letters, much of the scripture is Paul. Did you know Paul had plenty of doorways closed in his life? Plenty of them. One particular instance, Paul was, he was out and he had his made his conversion. He was a follower of Jesus and Jesus was sending him out there. And he was going out and he was proclaiming the gospel. But God closed the door. Closed the door on Paul. Can you believe that? One of the greatest apostles. And God closed the door. In the book of Acts, in chapter 16, it talks about how Paul was kept out of Asia because Paul was not supposed to be in there. I'm going to read that. I'm sure that Brandon's got it up there on the screen, but I'm going to read that quick. In the book of Acts, chapter 16, starting with verse 6. In 6, it says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Paul was kept out of somewhere where he wanted to go even preach the word. He was going to go into Asia to preach the gospel to those in there, to bring the word of Jesus to them, and God kept him out. He says, you can't go in there. Going on with verse 7, it says, when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Again, Paul was kept out. He was not allowed to go into that certain region to preach the Word of God. So what did he do? Well, in verse 8, so they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. So he went somewhere else because Paul knew that for whatever door that the Lord puts in our way as shut, he will open another one. That he will give you an opportunity to work for him, the purpose in your life and what you have to do in his plan and what he's calling you to do. He will open that door for you. Sometimes we can walk through a door, we can be doing things correctly, but then we operate in this area in our life a lot of times, and the next thing we turn around and the door shut. One of the reasons God shuts doors in our lives is because we've moved from this certain point into a next point. We move from one season to a next season in life. It's not that God is punishing you. He's just saying, I don't want you to go back there. That's not for you anymore. I have this plan for you. You've done your job. You've done it well. And now we go on to the next step. But every time we look at a shut door, we always think of something negative, that we're getting punished or we're doing something wrong. But that's not the case. All shut doors are actually for our benefit. And sometimes those benefits that we have is because we don't need to go back there anymore. We've learned and matured beyond that. Paul was in that same predicament in the book of Acts. And he went to another region. And he talks about this other region and what he actually got to do because of these closed doors. In his second letter to the church of Corinth, he talks about how he went to Troas to preach the good news, the gospel to. And he went there because he found that the Lord had opened a door for him in that area. He found that the Lord had something set up for him in that particular area. Paul discovered an opportunity. Paul discovered the reason God had sent him there, why the door was shut here. He went there and he says, this is why God has opened this door. This is why God shut this door, because he wanted me here to do these particular things. And he had to really concentrate and believe in that, because not everything went correct for Paul in all his preaching. Not everything was great. Not everything went according to plan, at least his plan. Things happened in his ministry. In this opportunity for him to spread the gospel in this particular area, he went down to Troas, and from Troas he went to Macedonia. From Macedonia he went up into the Europe area, where he started a legacy of Christian belief in the European area. And it all started from Macedonia. It all started from Troas. It all started from because God shut a door so he wouldn't go into Asia, so he could go into Europe instead. so he could spread the gospel to an area of Europe. He does these things. Paul learned that he was supposed to do this and not this. But he didn't become downtrodden. He didn't become heartsick. It wasn't a crushed hope. It was a hope placed in something else that God had for him, that he was supposed to be doing. And when we see a shut door and all of a sudden we turn around, we see an open door, we have a choice to make. We have a choice in what we're going to do. Are we going to stand here or are we going to go to the open door? Because the open door is kind of a tricky thing. You wouldn't think an open door would be a tricky thing, but let me show you why the open door is so tricky. Because we come to a door that's shut, you know. All of a sudden we find a door that's open. This is the tricky part. We actually have to take a step inside the door. We have to walk inside the door. We have to go that way. Because that's what we are supposed to do. We got to make a decision to walk through the door. And we don't always make that decision to walk through that door. We can stand there and we know for a fact and for sure God opened this door for us, and we can still hesitate walking through the door. We got to make the decision to do that. We stand around and we pray for God's opportunities to show your opportunity in my life. God, what do you want me to do? What is my life's purpose? What do you have for me? And God shows you the open door only for us to stand there to pause and not walk through it. We have to walk through the open doors he's placed before us. It's scary sometimes. I know I was scared. I was scared coming here. Not because of the people, because it was different. Because it was something so contrary to what I knew and what I was doing. But I am so blessed because I walked through the door. I am blessed because I have you in my life. I'm blessed because of New Life. I'm blessed because of Inwood. I'm blessed because of this area. I'm blessed. Even through the fear of the unknown, you take a walk through the door. And when you know that God is putting this door in front of you and you are obedient to Him and you walk through it, you will be blessed. There's no doubt that you will have that in your life. But the thing is that you must not go in with preconceived notions in your mind. Don't walk through the door expecting this or expecting that. Walk in true obedience, trusting Him and knowing that He is truly there for you. Paul and everything he had didn't go according to his plan. But he walked through and he was blessed because of it. But I would be remiss if I didn't give you a word of warning when it comes to open doors. Make sure the open door is something God has put before you. Make sure that you know for a fact that this is a door that God has shown you. Sometimes we can walk through open doors that others put before us, and that usually does not come out very well. And I want to give you 4 points here to keep in mind in determining whether God has put this door in front of you or whether somebody else has. The first is, when you're asked to do something, you're asked to walk through a doorway, make sure that it's in line with God's character and what He's asking you to do. If God is asking you to walk through this door and do something, make sure it's in line with His character. Because if it's not in line with His character, that's not from Him. Second one is to discern if God is the one leading you through that door. Discern. Ask for His wisdom. James 1:5 talks about how we're supposed to ask for wisdom and He will give it to us. And He will give generously. So when you come to the open door and you're ascertaining, you're supposed to discern on whether this door is placed there from God asking for it. And He will tell you. He won't hold back. He doesn't hold back those things from us. We just need to ask Him. It's because God knows best for us and He's willing to answer us. We just have to ask. Number three is when that open door comes in there and you've figured it out and God is leading in there, God is saying, go through this door, be prepared to take action. Be prepared to walk through the door without hesitation. Walk inside the door. You know, first Peter talks about how we're supposed to give an account and prepared to give an answer for our belief, our faith in Jesus. We're to give a reason for the hope that we have. But also be prepared in other ways. Be prepared to walk through the door and do what He's asked. I make a kidding gesture or a statement around here sometimes that, you know what? When God says to sweep the floor, guess what we do? We sweep the floor. When God says to mop the floor, guess what? We mop the floor. When God tells me that I have to go in and clean the toilets, guess what I do? I go in and I clean the toilets. Be prepared to do what God has asked you to do, even if it is uncomfortable. Even if it's not something that you think is equivalent to working with God. Because you need to remember this one thing, and this is part four of that. That our discomfort is temporary. Our discomfort is temporary. Even though it may not feel like it, we have to realize that where we're at now is not always where we're going to be. And we may feel pain at this point, at this time, but we will get through it. Because Paul wrote specifically about this in his second letter to Corinthians. In 4:17 it says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. I know we walk through discomfort. I know we have to spend time in there. It's a part of life. But we have to fix our eyes on the Lord and what's unseen. And when we do that, we grow. We grow as a person. We grow as a church. We grow in our faith. We grow. And when we grow, God opens new doors for us. And these open doors are available to everybody. So if you think that God doesn't open doors for you, you need to look around and find those opportunities. See the open door. See the light coming through and God showing you. Because you have an open door. Jesus' salvation is an open door for you. It's an open door for connection. It's an open door to know, to feel, and to understand, and to have an opportunity for love, for growth, for purpose, and for life. God's open doors are all around you. And He wants you to know that these open doors are for your good. He has plans for you. He has purpose for you. He has love for you. He has mercy for you. He has grace for you. But we have to be willing to open through the doors. Go through the doors and enjoy what Jesus has for each and every one of us. So as we walk through and we deal with things, realize that the eternal glory of Jesus is there. And that we will walk beside Him in glory after this temporary discomfort is done. So Let's continue to worship Jesus. Let's continue to cry out to Him. Let's continue to look through the open doors and search for those doors when one becomes shut. And we'll do it together. And together we'll show each other. Together we'll support each other. Together we will grow. We will grow in our faith. We will grow as a believer. We will grow in our church. We will grow in Jesus together.